Opportunity that we had that we could assemble together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm thankful to be with you and I'm grateful for your presence. I'm thankful for all that God continues to do for us on a daily basis, and I hope that you are too. I appreciate the scripture reading. Ray did a good job in that, taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 9. I appreciate the good song service led in such good fashion and the mention of me in your prayers. I love the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He were rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. You may say, preacher, what does that have to do directly to your sermon tonight? Nothing. But I like the passage. And so I ask for it to be read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 9. But we ought to be grateful for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God that makes our salvation possible. I'm aware that there are some things in life that though they are little, they really don't make a difference. Really don't matter. And yet there are some things in life that though they are small, though they are little, they do make a difference. I want us to think for a little while this evening about some little things pointed out in the Bible that really do make a difference. Not many points. We're not going to go through all the points that I've put in the outline, but at least we'll look at a few of them. The first one I want us to think about is found in the book of James, chapter 3, and in verse 5. We won't spend much time on because we studied from the book of James, and we studied about the small member of the Bible, or the body rather, the tongue, that though it's small, it really does make a difference as to how we use it. James chapter 3 and in verse 5. In Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. In Matthew 12:35 through 37, He talks about the fact that we'll give an account of the things that we say. That for every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And again, that's Matthew 12:35 through 37. Let your speech always be seasoned with salt, with grace, so you may know how you ought to answer every man. Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 6. And so though our tongue is small, a little member of the body, we've got to be aware of how we use it. Grow when it comes to that. It never ceases to amaze me that God's people sometimes still don't know how to use the tongue in the right and proper way. But all of us, beginning with self, all around the room, no one excluded, has got to pay attention to how we use the tongue. Over in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 37 and in verse 16, Psalm 37, verse 16, the Bible says, a little, there's our hinge word, little, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. No matter how much an individual has, if they're lost, they're doing no good at all. To no avail. In this passage says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And when you come over to the book of Proverbs chapter 15, we'll look at a couple of verses in Proverbs chapter 15 and then into 16. Notice what he points out here, Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. If I were to ask you, would you rather have little and yet be right in the sight of the Lord, have fear of the Lord, or would you rather have great treasure but loaded with trouble? Which one would you have? Some folks have so much that they can't even have a good night's rest because of the stuff that is in their life. And then in Proverbs 16 and in verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. 1 Timothy 6 and in verse 8 and on through the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Be content with the things that we have. We brought nothing into this world. It's certain that we can carry nothing out, but having food and raiment, we need to be content with it. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, He's assured us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we need to be content with the things that we have in this life. You could also talk about a little folly taken from the book of Ecclesiastes 10:1. You jot these down and study them at home. A little bit of honey, and how an individual didn't think that just a little bit of honey would have caused any problems, but it did. 1 Samuel 14:29 and 43. But I'm reminded about what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 18 and in verses 1 through 4. He took a little child, set him in the midst of the disciples, except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We're reminded about the importance of being humble. James chapter 4 and in verse 10, a lot of passages in the Bible talk about humility that we've made lessons on. We've talked about that. And so we see the importance of a little child used by the Lord to show the humble disposition, the willingness to be innocent and to serve other people, to have that attitude of a child. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 8, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And so, we need to think about it. Though we might exercise the body, He says that it profits little. Now, He doesn't say there's no value in it at all. But certainly, contentment with godliness is great gain in comparison to the exercise that we might make of the body. You can spend your time exercising all you want to. And I enjoy some of that too, to some degree. And others enjoy it to a greater degree. But just don't forget about the fact that it profits little in comparison to some of the other things and priorities that we need to have in life. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. As Peter's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Right? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And we need to add to our knowledge, these things, temperance and self-control and patience, godliness. But then I'm reminded about, as I've mentioned to you before, about a little chamber that we read about in the Old Testament in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4 and in verse 10. When this lady of Shunem went to her husband and said, "Let us, I pray thee," basically make an addition onto our house. Let's make a chamber that the man of God, when he comes by this way, can be able to turn in thereat. That's refreshing. Man, she didn't say, let's furnish it with a lot of stuff. Let's put a bed there and a table and a stool and a candle that might give light. I'm refreshed when I hold a meeting, though I don't always get to take full advantage of the hospitality that's really offered many times. But it's still refreshing to me that individuals really many times want to go above and beyond with the hospitality. I was encouraged that Hazeldale this week had time to visit with the preacher and really appreciate him and his wife. And many of you know him. He came and spoke in one night of our meeting. We had different speakers, Ferlin and Debbie Price, and was able to go home with them after the service on Sunday and enjoyed a fantastic meal that she prepared. Enjoyed the company of so many of the members that had came to be with us. And then he told me, he said, "Now through that door, when everything's done, you can go there and you can close that door, and there's bedrooms there and there's a bathroom there, and you can just spend the time resting and getting ready for tonight." I appreciate that. I didn't get to take advantage of that. I could have if I'd wanted to, but it was there. And I appreciate that so many times, almost every day of the meeting, "When are you coming home with me?" And he told so many of the members was anxious, "When's my turn to have you?" And so things like that encourage us when we know that there are individuals who really do genuinely want to spend time with you. 2 Kings 4 and in verse 10 is where you'll read that. Galatians 6 and in verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us, that is each individual, you, me, and all of us, do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. And so we need to think about those things. Exercise a little bit of hospitality along the way. But also from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Proverbs chapter 6, and again, you could just grow this list as you think about some little things that are pointed out in the book of God. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Yet, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come upon thee, or come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now the gist of what he's pointing out in the book of Proverbs chapter 6 and in this context is don't be slothful. Don't be lazy with the time that God has blessed us with. He's not condemning the fact that an individual can get tired and need to take rest. Jesus, at least two occasions, we understand, observed and pointed out the need to rest. He told the disciples upon one occasion, come apart and rest a while. And then as you think about the conversation that he had with the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus being wearied with his journey. So the Lord himself knew about being tired. But the point here in Proverbs chapter 6 is don't be lazy. Don't be slothful. All of us get tired. Begin with myself and on around the room. And there's times when we think, I'm tired and I'm just not doing what I ought to do. We'll get you a little bit of rest and then get back up to the job. And continue to do the things that God would have us to do. Romans 12, 11, Ephesians 4, and then verse 28 are some other passages that you could look at. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him work and labor with his own hands that he may have to give to those that need it. Then also we're reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 6 how that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Sometimes in the New Testament, leaven is used to represent sin. And don't take much, just a little leaven, just a little bit, as a little leaven would leaven the whole lump when you're baking. So it is a little sin would permeate throughout the group of God's people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 22, Paul's writing to the Church of Christ at Thessalonica. When he begins to close this letter, he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. The King James Version says, some versions say, abstain from every form of evil. We've got to collectively do that as well as individually. 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 21 be another good passage to look at. Then I think about the statement that is used at least three times by the Lord. O ye of little faith. Why did you doubt? O ye of little faith, in Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 26, as well as Matthew 14, 31 and Luke chapter 12 and in verse 28. O ye of little faith. One occasion when Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto thee on the water, come, the Lord said. When he began to see the water around him and the raging of it and so forth, he began to sing. O ye of little faith. We need to have faith. Strong faith, Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6. Just a few of the little things that the Bible points out that I think will help us. And you can grow your list if we'll listen. If you're here tonight, not a Christian, you need to become one. Preacher, what do I have to do to be saved? You do what they did in Bible days to be saved. I've never extended an invitation one where I told someone to do something other than what the Bible says to do in order to be saved. Don't plan on starting tonight. And if I ever do, then you correct me. Hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe it, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ, that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. That's what it takes to become a Christian. We can encourage, we can plead, we can pray for, we can teach and instruct. But at the end of the day, it's an individual affair. You got to obey. Preacher, I have done that, but I'm not right in the sight of God. I went back out to the ways of the world. Take care of it tonight. Why not tonight? Well, I might have a better opportunity. Well, you might have another opportunity. You won't have this opportunity, but God might be merciful and long-suffering and grant you another opportunity, but you don't know that. Has He already afforded to you an untold number of opportunities of which we've wasted and just discarded and ignored throughout time? You have to answer that for self, so do I. But God's made provision. If you want to come home, you can do that through repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession to God in prayer. 1 John 1:9, we'll pray with you and for you. Come right now.